Welcome to God, Sex, and You, a daily discipleship podcast on healthy sexuality. Here's your host, Purity Pastor Dustin Daniels.
The Apostle Peter writes in 1 Peter 1:13, "So prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into those old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then. But now you must be holy in everything that you do, just as God, who chose you, is holy. For the scriptures say, you must be holy because I'm holy." So let me ask you this. What does it mean to be holy? Well, holiness simply means to be different, to be set apart from the rest of the world. You are consecrated. You're dedicated and devoted to the Lord as a Christian. And the idea here is that every aspect of your life is holy. Every idea, yes, even your sexuality. And this is our topic today as we continue our conversation with Dr. Julie Slattery. We are discussing her new workbook, and it's for single women. It's called Sex and the Single Girl. In today's podcast, we'll discuss several things. Number one, why accountability is the concept of a team and community. Number two, why a woman's desperate plea for a pastor's help is not done alone. And number three, why it's impossible to compartmentalize your sexuality. Today's show is titled Sexual Atheism. You being a clinical psychologist as well, I mean, that's just complete insanity to be able to pass these laws, and we'll get to the gender identity stuff here in a moment, but it really is insane to just think of ourselves one way when we're obviously not. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, a lot of this discussion has to go back to worldview. And, you know, one of the key aspects of the Christian worldview is that we all by nature have sin within us. And, you know, left to our own devices, we will not always make the wise and the loving decision. And so we need accountability. We need self-discipline. We need to grow in maturity. And the world does not have that perspective. The world believes that we inherently are either good in our hearts or we're morally neutral. And so, you know, this again is where what we believe about ourselves, human nature, what we believe about God impacts the kind of decisions we make as a culture. And unfortunately, I think we're going to continue to see devastating news headlines like the ones that we've been seeing over the last few months. I think it's only going to get worse.
You got a great point about this really impacting and abusing women. I had an amazing conversation several months ago with a woman. Her husband had an affair, and she told me the story. She said, you know, I needed to talk to my pastor. So I called my pastor, and I'm waiting for him in the lobby, and finally I'm able to get into his office, but he leaves the door open.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him to shut it because this was a very private conversation. My husband just committed adultery, and I needed my pastor, and he let me know that he needs to either bring someone in to shut the door or the door needs to remain open.
Mm-hmm.
And she looked at me and she said, "Dustin, I don't understand one of the biggest crises in my life, and I need a godly man to talk to me as a woman, a sister in Christ, one-on-one. And this is what the world has come to." And I just thought, wow, man, you're so right. But at the end of the day, this is where we are.
Yeah. And, you know, I would say if I were meeting with that woman, okay, let's say you're in a huge medical crisis and you need open heart surgery, and you find the best surgeon around to do open heart surgery. That surgeon, no way, no how, would ever be in the operating room alone. It just, they wouldn't be allowed to be because they need, the accountability and the help of, the doctor that's going to monitor anesthesia, and they need nurses. And, and I think we've got to be aware that when we're talking about some of these sexual issues, the same sort of standards have to be in place, that, that it's not just this is where the world has come, but I think that pastor is very wise to say, we're going to get into some very sensitive areas and I need another set of eyes on this. And again, we respect that in the medical field. When a doctor is doing an OBGYN exam, a male doctor will always have a female assistant present, just to make you feel safe. And, I think we're getting to a place where that needs to be the standard when we have some of these cross-gender conversations. Because the truth is, I've heard, and I'm sure you have, far too many stories where that conversation between the pastor and the woman starts to get blurred.
Yeah.
And to put safeguards in place to prevent that, or even to prevent any misunderstanding around that, I think is a wise thing.
The concept of a team, or the concept of community, absolutely. What you reminded me there of, Julie, is this, just the concept of the Trinity itself from a theological or biblical standpoint. We have Father, Son, and Spirit, and they're always together. They're always in community, and they're always in unity. And especially when you're talking about something as serious as counseling or sexual sin, you certainly want to have a team around you. That's really, really good. Let me ask you this. Why is it so important for women to understand not the world's definition, but God's design, His definition for sexuality?
Well, I think, partly because sexuality, we tend to think of it as a compartment of life. It's just like this walled-off part of me where I make private decisions and it plays out in my marriage or in my romantic relationships. But what we're starting to see in the world and what really is true is you can't compartmentalize your sexuality. It will impact many different aspects of who you are, of your relationships, of your passions, of your relationship with God. And so, I think that a woman needs to understand the bigger picture of why her sexuality matters and why it's a spiritual construct, because it helps her make sense of the fact that, if I've had five different guys that I've slept with in the last year, that's going to impact me. It's going to impact my emotional health, my spiritual health. It impacts how I view myself. It impacts how I relate to other people. Again, I think it's imperative that whether you're single or married, you begin understanding this broader aspect of why we are sexual people in the first place, why God speaks into our sexuality, and why it's different than a choice of what I'm going to have for lunch, why it impacts us at such a deep level.
Yeah. Can you touch on some of those items that are the bigger picture there?
Yeah, the bigger picture is it's not something that we talk about often, because it frankly is really hard to explain and it's really hard to understand. And I don't think that in a short conversation we're going to be able to cover this thoroughly, but I'll give you just a little glimpse of it. The most important bigger picture of our sexuality is understanding that God created us as sexual people primarily to teach us about intimacy in general, and even intimacy with Him, which most people are like, what? What does my sexuality have to do with intimacy with God?
Sure.
And some of it is understanding that, God has created all kinds of things on earth as physical things that help us understand spiritual truths. And the Bible consistently uses sexuality and marriage fidelity as a physical picture of what it means to have a covenant relationship with God, and what it means for God to be faithful towards us, what His passion towards us is like. So that's the bigger picture that we don't often talk about, even in church. But our sexuality is supposed to be pointing us towards deeper longings, which is this awareness that, I wasn't made to be alone. I was made for passion and relationship. I was made for fidelity. And when we start to get a glimpse of that, it really changes the way we view some of these conversations.
And it also changes the way that we see our faith, doesn't it? And it kind of reveals what one of the things that you say in your book, that our sexual choices reflect our character and our faith. Can you say more on that?
Yeah, absolutely. So again, you know, I think a lot of people will want to believe that they can be what one person called a sexual atheist. You know, I can make choices with my life about my money and about work and about honesty, you know, all in a way to honor God. But when it relates to my sexuality, those are my personal choices. But really, the truth of it is, and this is what the scripture says, is that that our sexual choices have spiritual consequences. And our sexual choices are informed by our relationship with God. And as I grow in my faith and my maturity and my relationship with God, I begin to understand that this is something very holy to Him. He created it as something holy. And then I begin to take very seriously the choices that I make in terms of what I think about, what I look at, even, you know, understanding from a broader context why sexuality within my marriage is so important.
So do you compartmentalize your spiritual life and act like a sexual atheist? Man, that's such a great question, isn't it? The Apostle John writes in 1 John 1:5, he says, "This is the message that we heard from Jesus and now declare to you, that God is light and there is no darkness in Him at all." So we're lying if we say we've got fellowship with God, but we go on living in spiritual darkness. We're not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we claim we have no sin, well, we're only fooling ourselves and we're not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to Him, He's faithful and He's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. And if we claim we have not sinned, we're calling God a liar and we're showing that His word has no place in our hearts. I would encourage you to confess this compartment of sexuality in your life. He is indeed faithful to forgive you of all of your sins and offer you a life of freedom in your sexuality and not from it. Well, tomorrow we continue this conversation about compartments and what happens when we don't talk. What happens when we don't confess? We just stuff these feelings down, down, down into our lives. Well, Dr. Julie Slattery has some insights on that, and we'll be continuing to talk about her new book, Sex and the Single Girl. Well, I pray that you are having a very Merry Christmas as we continue our celebration here that our Savior is born. And I just celebrate that with you. And as we wrap up this last week here of December, if you're looking to make a year-end donation, if God places that on your heart, I pray that you would consider a tax-deductible gift to God, Sex, and You. You're listening, so you find something very valuable in this ministry, in this podcast, along with 80 other countries around the world. And we want to reach those other 80. We want to leave a legacy for you and your children and your church as well. And we need your help to do so. So you can become a Purity partner with us for $1 a day for 2018. You can give a one-time tax-deductible gift at the end of the year. To do that, just visit dustindaniels.org and click on Give. Thank you so much for listening to God, Sex, and You. You can follow me on Twitter and Facebook at Purity Pastor. And if you got a question, let me know. I'd love to answer that question. Oh, I almost forgot to ask. I've got a huge favor. This could be your Christmas present to me. It's a day late, but I'll still take it. I would love for you to take 30 seconds and rate this show. Doesn't matter if you're listening on iHeartRadio or iTunes or Podomatic or Stitcher or whatever device or streaming platform you're listening on, would you please stop the podcast right now? Just hit pause and just rate the show. That would be so, that would be a great Christmas present to me in the ministry. Well, Jesus says that we are blessed when we are pure in heart. And the reason for that is we're gonna see God. He says that in Matthew 5:8. And I don't know about you, my friend. I can't wait to see my Lord and my Savior. I want you to walk worthy today, my friend. I want you to cling to your family, cling to your friends, cling to Jesus. I love you, and I look forward to our time again tomorrow.